Good morning and welcome to KIDO Talk Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. Thank you all for joining us. Our great friend Dave Pezzo with us, and we're just going to take a look at the upcoming year coming up. And now that the Democrats have been sworn in, Dave, are you excited about the impact of divided government once again having on the American economy? Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I was disappointed at some of the things that didn't get done with a non-divided government. So, but at the same time, things like tax reform were a huge, huge item that clearly wouldn't have gotten done with a Democratic Congress. So I know everybody wants to throw the former Republican leadership under the bus, but the reality, and I do because they'd lost the House, but at the same time, that is a huge piece of legislation that will be with us for a very long time, Kevin, and continue to be a great driver to the economy.
Yeah, let's take a look at the Republican Congress, though. What did they really get accomplished?
That in and of itself is pretty big, and nobody expected it, right? Because you really have struggled to get those last few votes in there. I mean, we saw how contentious, for example, it was for a basically a Boy Scout nominee,
right?
With that both parties unanimously approved as a federal, at the next level, right? So maybe not unanimous, but very high, and all that is really contentious because the fight is on. It's really one of those things. So given how divided it is politically out there, Kevin, I think that they did do a good job. That by itself is a big piece of legislation. My huge disappointment, of course, and I'm sure our listeners share that, is that immigration should have been nailed, but that should have been nailed with the Democrats. Everybody wants a political football, apparently, because we're still tossing that one around.
And we will, no matter what people say or do. Let's take a look at the Treasure Valley. Last week, there was an article in the paper, more apartments coming to Meridian, to other places. Is this a good thing to have more apartments? You have a lot of people that our great friend Tea Party Bob, not really fond of affordable housing, but look, we were all there.
Yeah.
Some of us are still there or could be there again.
No, you have a valid point. I mean, we all started there, right? We started in a dumpy. I think my first apartment, I was 17 years old, and it was, no joke, it was $125 a month. You can imagine how.
That's back when $125 was something, though.
Well, it was right. Back a ways. You're right. Let's just say they did not have the amenities they do today. There was no clubhouse, right? It's a different world out there, and it's a much more abundant world than we've ever experienced. And so even people starting off are starting off at a different level. I understand what Tea Party Bob's talking about, though. It creates a lot of density, an awful lot of traffic in a small area. So it is a problem. It clearly is a traffic problem. It's in, and it means it's going to slow down everything everywhere because the arteries aren't just going to fill up. You have all those stoplights that are to get out of an apartment complex with hundreds of people in it.
Right. And again, we see that, though, in developed areas. I mean, you're a big fan of Seattle. It's funny, the New York Times, again, a couple of weeks ago had this article. They're worried about New York City becoming a giant Seattle. And it seems to be affordable housing is just not a crisis here in the Treasure Valley, but it is across the country. What gives with that?
Yeah, it's so funny. Not funny. It's really tragic and weird to me that the people that proclaim how they're just so kind-hearted and those evil, horrible people in flyover country that, are bigots or whatever you want to tag a name to, they could care less about the homeless problem they have there. They absolutely don't solve it. And you think of all the homeless problems out there, comparing to, say, what the Boise Rescue Mission does here in town, they don't have anything like that, Kevin, with all of their big-heartedness. With all their big-heartedness, they have a huge housing problem for affordable housing. It's just an absolutely astronomical problem.
Right.
They don't really care. They just make noises about caring. But what really cares is when we allow the market forces to solve these problems, meaning we do allow apartment complexes to go up that maybe are going to be a little on the low end of things. You may hear your neighbor like we all did growing up, right? You may hear some noise. Those are the types of things that keep those costs down and allow people to be in that area. And we're seeing, I talked about this a lot out in Star and Caldwell, Nampa. They've got so many new
the places where you hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know I love Caldwell. And anyway, go out that way, and you're seeing a lot of, we used to call it track housing, right? But it's lower dollar housing where people can get a start, and with interest rates still very low, Kevin, if you save up a few bucks, and by golly, you got to save up a few bucks. It's not my fault you aren't responsible enough to put a down payment together, but then you can have a payment that's lower than rent. That's the amazing part of where we're at right now.
Now, you were talking earlier, we were going back and forth with the guys from Team about how to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Well, give us your Petso tip here on this, the Dave Petso way.
Okay, are you ready? It's because it's beyond easy.
We're writing it down.
You start young, meaning you start as soon as you're done with college. You start even earlier if you can, and you put a few bucks away, and you keep it there. You don't stop. That's it. I'm going to give you an example.
We're in the savings
account. See,
we're
sitting here enjoying a cup of coffee, which, of course, being fiscally responsible, I'm actually at the expense of the radio station.
We don't charge you for that, by the way.
You do not.
Right.
And I do not stop at Starbucks and Dutch Bros and all that stuff. And that's a habit, right? When I couldn't afford a cup of coffee, honestly, when I moved here. I really couldn't. And so it's one of those things that you just kind of have those habits. But let me tell you this. A cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.2 million. Well, that is what it's $5 a day.
Who has 42 years? I want the get rich quick scheme.
I know that is exactly the problem, isn't
right.
it? People will not. We were talking about that too. It's such an incredible thing to think about. People don't think generationally. They don't think long term. They don't think about educating their kids. They say that they pay lip service, but they don't do it. Nobody sits down and says, you know what? I'm going to go buy a boat, and my kids aren't going to go to college. I don't care if my kids go to college. Nobody says that. But if you don't make plans, how are you going to get your kids to go to college? Your 401k?
You get your boat, and they pay for their own college.
And you know what? And some families, honestly, that is the discussion. I am not going to pay for a college education. And that's okay, too. But what I'm saying is, for people that pretend that they want to help their kids and don't, just quit living in the moment and spending money ruthlessly. It's not that hard. It really, when you think about that, Kevin, can you imagine that? A cup of coffee a day, and it's worth $1.2 million in 40 years. By the way, that's not hand picking the best mutual fund or the best money manager. It's not Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. It's the broad stock market, for crying out loud.
I don't know about that. The stock market in December didn't seem like your friend.
That includes December.
All right.
And much worse in the past.
More with Dave Petso coming up, the Petso Center, Petso Financial. Saturdays, 8 to 10, Money Matters here on KIDO Talk Radio. But, one of my favorite Petsoisms has to be making a luxury a necessity. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about the coffee business, right?
Yeah.
Everywhere we go, it used to be we just had churches and gyms, but now we have churches, gyms, dentists, probably soon to be hospitals, and definitely coffee on every corner.
We do.
And you have people, this is their thing. They go in, they'll pay $5-6, they'll stay there all day, they'll be on their laptop. What do you make of the coffee business? I mean, you have people that are putting up coffee places all over the place, and it's kind of a nouveau chic kind of thing. Hey, I got my such and such.
Well, yeah, and you think about that. You think about what Dutch Brothers does, and they get in the news here locally. What Starbucks did. I missed Starbucks because it's a cup of coffee. How big a deal can that be, right? And, of course, became a global, huge global company. And, again, I don't understand the paying that much. I guess I've always been, Kevin, when necessity is, you cannot afford. Habits are formed very quickly. If you can't afford to go out and grab a beer, you can't do it. You just can't do it. And I wasn't alone in starting here in Boise in the early 80s. It was a very difficult time with high interest rates. So starting off and doing that kind of thing builds habits. And so I really encourage people not to get into that downward spin where you spend more than is necessary. I'm not saying don't have experiences, don't have fun, don't go to the park and go all and do all kinds of things, but and you don't have to be ridiculous. But again, $5 a day, $150 a month for 40 years is a whole lot of money.
Indeed. I just go back to the whole creating the experience, and the coffee business fascinates me.
Yep.
You imagine what, and another favorite business of mine, the pizza business, but you imagine the markup on those things.
It's huge. But I would never start a pizza place. I mean, that's just got, because, you know, how hard is it? It's dough. You bake it and it's done. I mean, the next place pops up and you're not trendy anymore. That's a tough business, that restaurant business. But at the same time, you're quite right. The markup is pretty good. I mean, if Papa Murphy's can drag a pizza out of there for what, $8 or $9, and that you must be, and they do well. Coast to coast.
Well, Papa Murphy's is another one that I don't understand. They don't even cook the pizza for you.
No. No.
It's brilliant. But
it
they
is
don't
brilliant.
Even, they don't even cook the pizza for you.
Yeah.
Dave Pezzo joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. So, you know, we've been just talking about businesses and such. As we, you know, again, the Democrats getting their footing in Congress, the president holding fast on a few things. How would you grade the first 2 years of the Trump presidency?
Yeah, that's
boy,
a tough one.
That doesn't sound like a quick A plus,
no,
professor.
No, I'm going to give him an A plus for going into D.C. and destroying the Republican and Democratic Party. I'm going to give the press a disgusted, you've got to be kidding me, because they're so dishonest and so political now that the average person doesn't understand how amazing the deregulation, the idea that we've gone from 2% growth to 3% this late in a cycle has never occurred before. And everybody said he couldn't do it, that it wasn't going to happen. You and I remember us talking about, you get out of the way, you get government out of the way, and you watch the animal spirits come. And now we're seeing that with the tax cuts and all that. So the answer is, I think he's done a good job. I don't like his messaging. I understand that he's a guy that's from New York that likes to fight. He gets in there. But to me, he just makes so much noise sometimes that is just out of the way. And or a comment like the other day when he said he was doing a great press conference. I thought, really good. Why are we in Syria? Bam. Why are we there in the first place? Why are we leaving? Why were we there? Why are we here? I mean, these are things. The Iranian deal is Iran is, or you know, all of these things that he's done geopolitically have been phenomenal. The idea that we're open up with North Korea, all of that. But then he turns around and says, I would have been a great general. Why does he do that? Just, it was an amazing, you know, like just self-grandizing. I don't think is good for his messaging.
More coming up with our great friend Dave Pezzo. Remember, you can catch him at the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Facebook and Twitter. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Talk Radio. And welcome back. Dave Pezzo's with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, KIDO Talk Radio. KIDOTalkRadio.com. So what grade would you give him, the president? If you missed it, we asked I say
I would agree.
A plus.
I would give him an A. I would definitely give him an A.
I thought you were self-aggrandizing.
I don't like his messaging, the curve
or something like that.
I don't like the messaging, and I think he would have gotten even further, and that's why I'm going to take a little away. What he's done is fantastic, and I love that. But I just think that the messaging, if he would have toned it down, he could be driving a dagger through the Democrats' hearts. And the Democrats have moved so far left now. It's not the Democratic Party that anybody knows. This is a new progressive socialist, to have government do everything, nanny state type of economic destroyer. That's what the Democratic Party is now, and they're obstructionists. They don't want anything to be successful. I believe that there would have been a movement if Trump wouldn't be so Trump-like in his messaging. I believe that he could have brought so much more of the middle America that away from the Democratic Party that, again, I have to blame him partly for this midterm as well, not just the Republican leadership, but also Donald Trump.
Hmm.
I don't know how you lose Michigan.
Well, that's Michigan. I mean, Michigan's been tough though for years.
Well, it has, but they have also they lost their own state house there too. That's a big shift for them.
Well, you bring up a good point, because for years the Republicans have had the ground game, the state houses, the governors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, you know, these are cyclical. And remember, you go back to the midterms, all the Republicans resigning or retiring
and everything else. That's true too, Kevin.
Historic trends, that sort of thing. But, you know, to your point, the president is very polarizing. And as much as he fires up his base, he fires up the libs.
Right. I like that he fires up the base. I like that he's different. But I think that a slightly toned down would have brought more people to go, I like this change, instead of cringing. Sometimes with every press conference, there's things that are said and you just cringe, even though I like what he's doing. And they go, why did he have to say that?
Well, we could say that about a lot of things, though, right?
Well, we could. Right. But most of the time, if you're listening to Obama, he never said anything. He'd talk for an hour and didn't say anything. And with Trump, he says a little too much.
Sure.
Anything that goes through his head, just it comes out.
So we've talked a little bit about the president. Brad Little is sworn in. You're close with Brad Little. You guys hang out, just like you hang out with Warren Buffett and, I was going to say, Steve Jobs, but no. Bill Gates, probably.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Paul Allen,
on
God
my
rest
frequent
his soul,
trips
yeah.
to see my grandkids, I swing by.
Right, yeah. Right. So we take a look at the Brad Little administration. What do you make of it?
I like the fresh look. I have to tell you, when I ask Brad Little a very simple question, it's happened to be serving with him at the rescue mission banquet over Christmas, and just a simple question of what he was doing in the transition, and they're looking at everything, Kevin, and I really appreciated that. They're looking at everything. It's not automatic that everybody gets to keep their job. I really get the impression from Brad Little that he is his own man, and he is not Butch Part Two, and he's going to look at everything and try to make his mark. He's, you know what? He has been successful in life. He's successful in business. It's successful in politics, and he's reached the job he wanted, and he's late in life. I think he wants to make a difference. I think he really does, and I think he's going to work hard and looking at everything. So I like what I hear and what I see so far.
Right. You take a look at some of the challenges. Obviously, we're calling on the politicians. First thing they should do, repeal the grocery tax. You've got the $60 million shortfall. How does that happen? You ever had a $60 million shortfall at Petso Enterprises?
No, we have not.
And that's easy for us to say, but I mean, $60 million.
Where, serious.
We thought more revenue was coming in. Whoops.
Yep. Well, that's government and that's projections. You know what I mean? Everything is always perfect and it's going to be on budget, right? It's kind of like the road construction. You go, you get deals and say, oh, this is going to cost us $1 billion to put a tunnel here. And $5 billion later, they're not done. It's very typical and unfortunate, because that's how you lie your way into getting taxpayers to approve certain things. Like, we're going to bump this particular thing up, we're going to bump that thing up, just because we want to pay for the roads or we want to do this, instead of looking for cost-cutting ideas.
Right.
Very typical.
Right. But, you know, there's a lot of challenges with the growth here in the Gem State. And you think to yourself, well, where are they going to come up with $60 million?
You know what, Kevin? There are a lot of challenges, and we need the roads. We need the infrastructure, and I'm hopeful that we're going to have something like, you know, a bond issue of some kind, because we do need it. And if it needs to be funded with a nickel more or dime more of gas tax, then so be it.
Wait a minute. Mark this down, everyone. This date in history, this time, KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM. Dave Petso is advocating for tax increase. Have you become a tax and spender?
No, I have not. But I think that we have an issue in Idaho with how many miles per people out there. And we can do it. I think what we need to do it is, whether it's vehicle registration, because, again, you can't tax the electric cars. And that's where we're running into a little bit of trouble here, because cars are much more fuel efficient than they used to be, or they don't use gas at all. And then you can't collect any gas tax. So we have to come up with some innovation in order to pay for the roads down the road. And we need them.
Well,
you're right. We have issues with growth here in the Gem State.
But I disagree with you. Shocker. Remember,
you never disagree with
it. It was a couple years ago, and I remember Governor Otter, now former Governor Otter, coming on the program. You guys must talk a lot because it was the same aspect that he said, the same spiel where he said, I got my big pickup and, you know, the Prius guy there, and I got to pay just as much. And, it,
yep.
And I'm going, well, yeah, you raised the gas tax already. And that was, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. So where did all that money go?
No, I agree. It's probably in the roads. But at the same time, I also don't, you know, and I understand locals need to make these decisions, but I'm always shaking my head. I drive down on Americana to work every day. And this is an all summer long project, okay? And it's for a bike lane that is less than a quarter of a mile long, and it's just unbelievable to me because you're sitting there going, well, we need a north south corridor. Yes, we've needed it for 30 years, and yet we're going to build a bike lane on Americana. Widen the flippin' sidewalk if you need to. But my point is
that sounds more like Mayor Beter to me.
Well, it is, but where'd the money come from?
Better be careful. Mayor Beter probably listens. He doesn't like it, but he probably listens. His ears are burning. Last time I saw Mayor Beter, his ears were burning when he was looking at me.
I'm very happy to say that this nonsense of putting bike lanes down Main Street is over. I'm glad. I'm glad that we don't have to do a stupid trolley downtown, and I don't understand why we have bike lane on Americana when we need so many projects of widening Shinden Road, all those things. I know it's a state highway, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I get it. But still, at the same time, why are we doing those things when we have entire crews all summer long? It's limited time when we can do these projects. These are things that you do when we're not growing so fast that we are blowing out all the roads we're on.
Exactly. But a tax and spender, Petso.
We need better roads.
More coming up with Dave Petso, Kevin Miller in the morning, 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Talk Radio. And we appreciate you joining us here, 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Talk Radio. Dave Petso with us. You know, you have such a history with the station. What's your favorite KIDO story? I would say KIDO Talk Radio, but KIDO Radio. Obviously, you had such a great relationship with John and Chris. You have such a vibrant love for this station. Do you have any favorite memories?
I have lots of them. You know, they all roll around people. I mean,
you remember a much younger Ray Amaya?
I do remember a much younger right. And happier. He's getting to be a bit of a curmudgeon guy.
Well, he's in good company because I'd say the same for both of us.
I know. We are. But, you know, it was, Kevin, I got to say back in those days, and I have some great memories with you as well, but it's because, you know, I've been doing this for like 9 years or something.
Exactly.
Right? So those things kind of come and go. But obviously, I was very close with John DeWayne and Chris Kelly. And back in those days with Ray and Dinah Jewell, and there was a big staff, and there was a lot. There were marching bands in the studio.
Big staff now, me and Ray.
I know.
A synthesizer. You don't need a marching band.
I know. And this equipment is the same equipment that was there 30 years ago, right?
We are very diligent with the resources.
Very fiscally responsible.
That our shareholders give us.
Exactly. Yes. But, you know, it's you've heard so many of these stories, but, I mean, it's just the idea that day in and day out, you had this barrage of people coming in and from the community, whether it was coming in and having somebody sing happy birthday to the mayor or to the it was just fun. And so all those together, but the steelhead fishing trips were really something because we would be build them up and tell the story. That's when I really learned so much about radio was your craft is just amazing how you build stories around people and stuff. We, for example, who cares about the postmaster, but John Tuso, the former postmaster, was in almost every week and telling stories. And so it's just one of those things that you create even out of non-news or fun or personalities, creating that messaging. And we would talk about it for 2 weeks. We were going to go steelhead fishing and talk about it for a week afterwards. Those were the days when you just kind of...
Is that like before the internet and before cable? And,
it kind of sort of was, yeah.
Right.
A
different
bit.
Time in America.
It was a different
time. But a
time.
Sense of community.
And a real sense of... And how to communicate with people and enjoy and have fun with other people. It was a different time.
What do you say to people that just move in here?
Move to Boise?
I mean, are you one of these ambassadors, and do you, since you hang in Boise, you know,
Yeah.
The bougie Boise folks. You know, the commoners we live out.
And I kind of am an ambassador because I like people, but I...
Right. I mean, your rooftop parties and that sort of
thing. Oh, yeah. The rooftop parties. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But, I mean, what do you say to people that... And we have a lot of folks that have moved in from, particularly from California. They may not take issue with me. All I ask is that they change their license plates.
Yeah. I, you know what? That's fair, Kevin.
But what do you say to people that are, you know, a kind of a behind the scenes, a Cliff Notes version when they're trying to figure out what to expect when they move here? What do you say to new people?
I say that Boise is nice. The people here are special. That's different than anywhere else you will go because the people truly are nice. I'm afraid we're going to lose that a little bit as people come in and try to change this because they want to be more progressive or what have you instead of actually just nice. And the people are nice here. But I do sense that's changing, particularly in the North End, and I don't like that. I think that's a shame. Because I find that progressives are very exclusionary. They do not like people with differing viewpoints, whether they're accepted or not. The progressives don't like discussion. They don't like to have people that don't agree that government is the best way. I like the people of Idaho, and so when people come in, I tell them that you're going to find that this is the greatest group of people on the planet, and I mean it. They are. They're so nice. People still nod at each other and smile on the green belt. And when you smile at a pretty lady, she doesn't think you're trying to do anything. It's just they're just nice.
Well, it depends on your age. You know, when you're my age and stuff, you smile. You're very non-threatening.
That's true. When you're old like me, you're right. I didn't think about it that way, but you're probably right.
Giving a lot of thought here, Dave. But or when you're at the gas station and some guy will nod to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. Or a clerk is actually happy you came in the store instead of disrupting them. It's a nice place.
But doesn't it spoil you when you – and you're an international traveler. I mean, you go to exotic locations like Reno and Seattle and all those fancy places, Chicago and such.
Yep.
I found that when I travel, it spoils me because, and look, I'm much more of an introvert than you are. I'm much more.
Just a little bit.
Right. We travel in the same circle, but you're a little bit more gregarious than I am.
Yes.
So for me, I'll go out of my way to like talk to people and they look at me like I'm a nut.
That's true.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really, you'll find that once you've lived here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And it is different. It is very different when you travel. People are much more in a hurry, and when you get somebody waiting on you, it's here you go, you're welcome, and they're gone. But they're not engaging; they don't take the time to engage. And I think in Idaho, they actually do stop and engage. They still do,
right?
But particularly, Kevin, we're going to notice that difference over time because when you go up to like Crouch or something, and Garden Valley, Loman, whatever, and you stop by the local tavern or the restaurant there, whatever it is, and the people there are happy to sit down and have a conversation with you, much more than Boise. There's a difference. I think it's when you get crowded, you're around a lot of people, there's a lot of hubbub. I think people do change a little bit. So I am concerned with that long term with Boise, plus with all the foreigners coming in, meaning Californians,
sure,
et cetera, big city folk. They're not used to being this nice. And so I'm concerned, just like you. My Boise's not here anymore, but it's still the best place there is.
Right, but... We would call that the Treasure Valley.
The Treasure Valley. I'm sorry.
Well, and we go to the growth, though.
You are a little sensitive about this, the greater Boise area, but it's not. It's like, yeah. Treasure Valley.
The Treasure Valley
regional
thing.
I'm going to work on my vocabulary.
It used to really, it's funny, people would say, well, you know, out there. Well, if you're living out there, it's not out there.
No.
You know,
it's really hard to get out there through all the traffic because there's so many people out there, right?
Exactly. Now, if you would have listened to me and Tommy Ahlquist, we'd have solutions, but that's that's another story.
You've got I'd love to hear those. That's good.
Well, we've got a lot of solutions for how things are going.
Good.
Tommy and myself, we're working together on that.
I like it.
Right.
Maybe
we would have you join our team.
Oh, hey.
Tommy.
I'd love to hear your guys' solutions.
Well,
this is awesome.
Well, you know, we'll work on that. I'll have to put in a good word for you.
I hope you do.
So we go back to the growth, though. That is a big issue.
Huge.
I mean, the roads, the infrastructures people are building. As I said, we do a podcast together, Tommy Ahlquist and I, Inspire Excellence. and we talked to the mayors, and they were yapping and about impact fees. Nampa's impact fees are going up.
Mm-hmm.
What was it for a 10,000 square foot building? $120,000 in impact fees.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy was telling me about that for BVA, his new company. That's a lot of money, but we're in like a catch up mode though. So I mean,
that's not very much money. Think about how much that will actually pave, or how much of a road, or how much land it'll buy around a road. Next to nothing, right?
Right, but then you go back to the referendum, or the levy, or the bond, or whatever you want to call it, in the last election cycle that ACHD put up, that you could vote to raise your registration fees and it would go to the roads. But then they put in there that you couldn't raise the fees on trucks or vehicles more than 8,000 pounds. Now, look, my little Subaru Forester Toyota Camry does not tear up the roads.
Yes.
And we love the truck drivers. We love people that do it for a living. But, you know, there's the balance.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's tough. There is. That's what I'm saying. You're saying
You're a tax and spender?
Tax and spender, right. And the answer is impact fees are nothing different than a tax. That's exactly what they are. Impact fees are a tax. You can call it whatever you want. But it's a user tax, if you will. We're going to use this land, build density here. Therefore, you're going to have to widen the streets. That's what that's for. And you're going to need to bring more sewer. You're going to need to bring more utility. All of those things that are expensive and difficult. But that's what I'm saying. We have got to have very good solutions. And some of them, unfortunately, are going to be, how do we raise revenue? How do we tax it? And how do we tax it correctly? How do we tax the user?
Right.
Correctly. That's a tough choice.
Sure.
And that's why we're saying, an electric car, they're not paying for the roads.
Sure, but if you want to buy a house, are you going to pay 10 grand extra in impact fees? Is that fair?
You are. You already are.
More with Dave Pezzo next. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio. 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Talk Radio. Dave Pezzo with us, the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. So you're saying people are already paying for new houses.
Yeah, they are. And so, also think about that on your property taxes. They don't go up. I'm saying they don't go up just because of the value of the house. You look at the mill rates.
Right.
Right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just, and you never hear about schools that are being planned ahead. They're always just out of money. We always don't have enough money.
Now you're sounding like Mayor Tammy in Meridian, who takes issue with how we fund the schools.
I do too.
Right, because
good for her.
It's all on the local municipalities.
Yeah.
Every year, sometimes twice a year, we have these levies and bonds. Now, from the state government perspective, we can argue at KIDO Talk Radio, we spend it's at least 60% of our general fund budget on education.
Exactly. It's absurd.
Yeah. And here's the other one. Not a lot of people say we have too much top-heavy folks, but hey, let's say you streamline everything. I don't know if it's going to make it better.
Right. Education is the only thing that we do the same way we did 100 years ago, only we do it worse because we got more bureaucrats in it. So, yes, we're top-heavy compared to what we used to be. But at the same time, with the attorneys out there deciding you can spank or you can't spank and we got to sue this and you can't get rid of a teacher, I don't know who the boss in the school is. Because the reality is a principal can't decide he's going to fire a teacher, not without the union cracking down and deciding the teacher has tenure or can't be fired. It's a very difficult thing to get control locally, meaning at each individual school. So, Kevin, I'm not an expert on it. I just think that we have to stop doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
That's the definition of insanity. Let's take a look at some of the social media giants making luxury a necessity. The government looking at going after Amazon, Silicon Valley. I have a friend of mine who lives near that, and he said, you wouldn't believe the buildings and everything mm-hmm. else. It's something you can't even describe.
Yeah. I would love to go see the Apple headquarters just to see this monstrosity. But you're right. There is so much money in Silicon Valley. It's absolutely absurd. And now it's going to be hitting New York, and it's going to become even busier. It wasn't that long ago I was in New York and trying to get off of Manhattan to the airport. And I'm telling you what.
You were in the financial district?
I was.
Right.
Yes. Actually, no. I was in Upper Manhattan, so at the J.P. Morgan building. Oh. They're in Upper Manhattan. But anyway, for those that know the area. Anyway, the point is I was trying to get out of there, and you can't. The traffic is just unbelievable.
Now, I've been to upper,
it's going to get worse.
I've been to Upper Star, but never Upper Manhattan.
Yep.
But it does come back to just how influential they should be. Facebook took a beating last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Apple took a beating because the Chinese aren't buying their phones.
Yeah, they're getting beat up. Yeah, exactly.
So have we jumped the shark? See, to me, I'm, and again, we could call this the analog generation.
Right.
GM built things.
Right.
Facebook didn't really build something. It's
nope.
on a digital platform.
Yep.
And yet anyone would love to have the valuation of Facebook.
Correct. And yes, you're right. And everything in the smartphones and all of the all of their apps that they do now. These are amazing things. And I agree with you, Kevin. It's an interesting thing. And we're seeing, as we know, there's a shortage of people in the trades now, right? Because there's still work to do out there.
Right.
There's still work, plumbing and welding and things like that. And so there's a shortage of people out there that aren't just, you know, people can make a really good living now by making stuff and repairing things, not just by creating apps. And that's so we're still seeing that. But Kevin, we can't stop using computers. I think of, for example, at our office, for the amount of let's call it assets under management, okay, and number of clients that we have. 20 years ago would have taken three times the number of people that we have now.
Well, you would have employed more people. That would have been good. You would have been less efficient. I'm all about that.
We would have been a lot less efficient.
Sure.
And we probably just would shrink down and not have as many clients or people that we could take care of. And so there are, because of technology, we can trade hundreds of accounts at one time. We can do all those things that you couldn't do before. And you can do so much more. You can reach so many more people. And we can communicate with them in a better way, more quickly than sending out snail mail messages from time to time. Things are, it's a different ball game, yes, but it is going to keep being different. And I don't know if we're going to, you can't roll the clock back. We did make things, we're still going to make things, but we're going to do it more efficiently with less human beings and more technology.
Back to this issue about the trades. You've always been a big fan of the trades.
I am, yeah.
And yet the trades don't get the love that, you know, the people with their laptops sitting at the Starbucks contemplating some philosophical question do.
Yeah. You know why, Kevin? I think because I love real people. I like real hardworking
people. You're saying
people
in the coffee shops aren't real?
I think they're real, but I don't find them quite as interesting. I think that as I go to places like Seattle to go see my grandkids and things like that, I just don't find that as interesting a group of people. I find people that are out working hard, trying to make a buck, hustle up jobs, and I just love the skill that they have. I mean, it's like, you know, we went through a big remodel on my house, right? And so it takes forever to find good tradesmen.
Did you put in a new west wing or something like that?
We basically did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I basically tore down the old place because right. It was built in 51.
Put a rotunda in, I heard.
Yeah,
like
right. Yeah, the bones are about the same, but it was old. And
right.
So 1951 is old. And you start tearing down walls, you're going to find a lot of stuff. We did. But anyway, my point is that I couldn't help but just be blown away by the wood floor guy who loved his job, was the nicest guy, young guy, probably in his 20s still, and super nice guy, but what skill he had. I couldn't tell where the new wood and the old wood were. I seriously can't. From 1951, you can't tell. It looks perfect.
The wood guy.
The wood floor guy.
Oh, the wood floor guy. All right.
Yes. I mean, I'm just saying, I just admire the craftsmanship, the guy that put the shower in, I mean, in the tile. These are, they take their work seriously, and I love that. It's like they feel like they're artists, and they are.
Well, they're artists, and, hopefully the trades will continue on, and I know you're a big proponent of that. You have a lot of people that have made a lot of money in the trades.
You do.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it when we're busy here. And I know most people, and here's what is just is difficult and hard for people, is that it's two different things. You can be a great craftsman and have no idea why in a booming time you're running out of money. It's two different skill sets. It's very fortunate if you happen to love what you do, whether it's a profession or not, and you run a good business. That's a really rare thing. Most people don't have those skills. That's why the people that run the plumbing companies and things like that aren't out there turning a wrench anymore. They're running the company. It's a business. And it's two different skill sets. So I do encourage people to be very careful about setting out on their own and knowing what their skill set is, because you can make good money in the trades. Just do good work and stay there, put money away. But when you go out on your own, you're going to run into a lot of other expenses that you may not have counted on.
Finally, big prediction for the year.
Kevin, we are in a good economic boom. I think the volatility will settle down. I think this is a correction. And my big prediction is we will get a trade deal sooner than later with China. The Federal Reserve will back off a little bit, and the stock market will be up 20% this year. How about
20%?
That? How about that?
All right, we're going to save this. Dave Pezzo, as always, we appreciate
it. I'm usually
you.
Embarrassed by my predictions, so you can save it.
All
it's
right.
Okay. I'm used to it.
You're in good company. The Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a great day.
You too. More news next. Fox News, KIDO Talk Radio. Good morning.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And of course, since this is hour number two, I want to say these are my opinions and my opinions only. Not the station, broker-dealer, and all that stuff. And if we talk about a stock, it's not recommending it for you because, of course, I do not know your portfolio or your objectives or anything like that. And you should think that would be obvious, but sometimes it's not. And I wish it was. But this whole fascination of the markets to buy, and sell, it just leads us from the truth. It does. It leads us so far away. And so we have to remind ourselves all the time. Because we have all these people out there pretending to be bullish one day, bearish the next. In other words, they just kind of changed overnight because they always know what the market's going to do. And yet the greats say what? I mean the greats, the ones that people, Warren Buffett spoke. John Templeton, Peter Lynch, Michael Price. Oh, what do they all say? I can't time the market. Don't even try. What? We shouldn't be buy, sell. I don't know what that is. I mean, you know, if things are like a little nervous, you should be just out a little bit and then kind of back in over here, you know? No, I don't know. I wish I never had to trade. I wish companies would just keep growing like they do collectively. But once in a while, I have to sell something because it's not performing like it used to. Make a few mistakes, but over time, we make a lot of money here. That wouldn't create an entire media scene, would it? And so really, we're trying to say, look, don't do that. I know the media drives you to do that. All of this is a problem for people. All of it is. All of us. It's kind of like if you're in the industry a long, 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 long time, like me. You finally turn the corner sometime out there, probably for me 25 years ago, where you're like, you've been in it for 10, 15 years. And you just start to realize that everything is noise. It's noise, not everything, but I mean, there's so much noise. You have to kind of parse through it and hear wisdom. It's just like, bam, I heard that. I heard something over there. Tell me more about that. And it gives you a little more insight, not all the noise. When we let it all in, it's just like a giant boom. And there's nothing to discern from that. Nothing. It's when we have clarity, when we have wisdom, and we have epiphanies. Oh, never saw it that way. And they're not epiphanies. They're like, I think the market's going to crash next week. That doesn't happen. It doesn't. You see, what I want to talk about here today is
I want to talk about the fact that when you sell out, you can't come back. You see, we just don't talk about how dangerous this is enough, anywhere near enough. You see, you're just walking on the wrong side of the tracks, period. And it's not going to end well. You just can't. You have to make a decision when you invest to invest and keep it there. Period. No matter what your thoughts are about the market, no matter what your feelings are, no matter what you're listening to. This guy called the greatest turndown in history. Now he thinks another one's here. I got to go get that. No matter what you hear about, you could have market returns with no risk. You can't. Period. Okay, I don't want to go down that road today, okay? It just makes me angry. And I don't want to be angry. Because I'm feeling really kind of nice today, you know? I don't want to be angry about... Can I say crooks? Anyway, the people who deceive people. Okay? I get very angry. All of that pushes people to do things that they shouldn't do. And I'm just saying, you can't come back. The people that sold out in 08 missed it. They missed it. I mean, you need to have a transformation. I mean, it's like when I say you can't come back, is it possible to come back? Of course. But only with a radical transformation. And what I mean by that is you can't come back. Not because they won't let you back, but if you've tasted the waters on the wrong side of the tracks, you can't come back without a transformation. And what I mean is you go there, you've sold out, you shouldn't have, market starts to go higher, even if it goes down initially and you're a genius, okay, you never catch the bottom, and it goes. Now, here's why. No matter what happens, even if you are a genius and you're right and the market goes down. Let me give you the analogy to that, okay? So the 21-year-old runs down to Vegas, learns how to play craps while they're down there, has a good run and wins. Is this a good thing for the young man or is this a bad thing for the young man? Are we... gambling genius and the casinos are built for profitability for the young man? Or did they just get lucky and they think they're good? We all know the answer to that, and we know it doesn't end well. It's not a good thing to win the first time out. And we see, you don't even necessarily win the first time out. This could be the time number 12, the other ones that ran through your head, you know, like I'm going to sell, and you don't. Good thing. You finally sell out after something's down. See, what people did in 08, let's use 08. What people did in 08 is they sold out at the end of October. Why do I know they sold out at the end of October? A, we know by money flows, that's when they sold out. But here's the deal. It went down a little bit lower than that before it bottomed on no news and went up 45% in 90 days during a time when the economic news got severely worse. We all forget that. Yeah, you know, it recovered. It recovered 45% in 90 days. That's not a recovery. That's a rocket ship missed. Why? Because there was no news that would bring you back. None. So people didn't catch the bottom. They missed the last 10% down in order to miss the 45 up. Now what are you going to do? The economic news is terrible, And all the doomsdayers are really rattling the media. Yeah, I got in at that point. No, you didn't get in at that point. You did not. You didn't get in after Greece, part one, two, three, or four. Don't forget about the pigs nations and all the hyperinflation that was going to be caused by QE 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it's certainly when they started raising interest rates or taking back, because it's all phony, right? We got all, this is all phony. No, without the Federal Reserve, it's all phony. The market can't go up without the Federal Reserve, except that interest rates have been rising for over 2 years now and the market's gone higher. You see what I mean? There's always lots of stuff that keeps you out. Lots of stuff. You just can't unless there's a radical transformation to come back. So when you set your mind that I am going to put away a couple hundred dollars a month, whether through the 401k, through your own Roth IRA, it doesn't make any difference, and you're 20 years old and you're getting rolling, man. You don't stop. You just keep going, and it'll be worth millions of dollars when you hit retirement age. I'm not just throwing numbers out. You've heard me a zillion times. You probably heard it. Yeah, you heard it in the last hour, a cup of coffee a day. For 40 years is $1.2 million. In the market, not in Google, in the whole market. You don't have to know anything. Except you have to leave it alone. That's what you have to know. You have to you put it in and you just say, by golly, I'm not budging. I don't even need to know the news anymore. I don't care. And I'm sure as heck not going to run to the computer every day and push the button and find out what my net worth is. So it gives me an even better chance of freaking out and doing something stupid. What were you going to do anyway? Sell? What are you going to do? Sell here and move it over here? It just makes you feel crappy. It's a bad idea. But you get the point. Don't go there. If you never go there, the temptation goes away. You just know before you start. The answer is no. Before you start. And then it helps whenever the market has a hiccup. You start to understand the only things you need to understand in investing. A, you're getting dividends, and they're growing. Year after year, decade after decade, always have. Well, that's weird. Nobody ever talks about stocks like it's an income story. Yeah, but guess what they're doing also? They're reinvesting for you. Along with your few hundred bucks a month, because now you're down the road a few years and you're able to put another 50 bucks away. So it's 250, then you're at 300, then you're at 400, and you're a multimillionaire if you leave it alone. It's not hard. If you go in and you know, I don't touch this, I just add to it. And then you start understanding things like dollar cost average. When I put money in and prices are down, it makes my money in the end worth even more because I have more shares that I bought for the same money. And so downturns, you begin to understand, are your friend, not your enemy. Oh, it's not hard to understand that. It isn't. But it is until you go through it. Because all you see is not how many shares you're buying. You see how much, quotes, money you lost. As if you're going to sell that day anyway. We can't come back when you sell out. You are damaged forever. Forever. It's a huge psychological problem. Without a transformation, you can't come back. And what I mean by transformation, you have to completely change. This will never happen again. And I mean it. So help me God. I am not going to do this. I get it now. I understand dollar cost averaging. I stand leaving it alone. I'm okay. I will leave it alone. I mean, can you imagine? It's 2008 and a person sells out. Oh, you know the other reason why it was October? I forgot to tell you this. Market had been falling and finally hit down 20% the first part of October of 2008. It proceeded before the end of October to fall another 20%. Horrible month. Horrible month. That's when people sold. Not the first 20, the second 20. We all know it. But imagine selling out in October of 2008 and not getting back in. See, the market bottomed March 9th, 2009 on the S&P at 666. I know, Devil's Bottom is what it's called. It's up 400% from there. When people sold at that point, they made a life-changing decision, financially and emotionally. A life-changing decision. You see, because they don't have the fourfold. It's a huge problem. In my mind, it is the only thing that matters. There's lots of other little things you can have that you might say matter, but this is so far above everything else. It's like the rest are just collectively this little thing way down the list compared to how we behave with our investments. Nothing is even close. And you've heard me, Jennifer Stone, Tom Brown, our whole office, Erica, all of us talk constantly on air about the Dalbar studies and client behavior and selling out and missing the 10 best days and all those things. So you've heard all those lectures. You've heard all the statistics. It's just something you need to understand from the heart. Because statistics are cold. They could be cold, hard facts that wake people up. But one of the things that people just have to know when they go in is just like going and getting married. You better get along now because there's no going back. And when it comes to investing, you need to set yourself up to win. I'm not going back. I'm going in, and I'm not going to quit, and I'm not looking back, and I'm going to keep adding, especially in downturns. And then you will learn to embrace downturns. You might even like them. The great investors do like them. I know it seems weird. All right, I have another twist coming up later in today's program, but right now what I really want to do is I want to take your calls at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net if you prefer email. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, that's fine. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right. Fund flows have been showing a lot of selling the past few months. Does that mean most of the impatient, stupid money is gone, and we are poised for an upswing? Thanks, Joe. Joe, often it does. That's a really great point. Money flows matter. Thanks for the email. They do matter, and they matter in a contrarian way. So when we run out of things, and it happens every correction, it's really something. But again, without having that going into investing as, I can't leave. I don't leave this. Okay? Mindset. Then idiots that don't know anything about money running around frantically on TV can scare you. You don't have any real logic. Like, you know, I don't think that guy who can talk about the stock market actually has any money. That's the reporters. Oh, there's a few commentators on there that are billionaires or, you know, certainly millionaires. People that have been successful investing. Some of them are successful marketing books and talking their book, but they're not very successful investors. That's why there's so few. But the common threads of the really good ones are they don't sit around and watch TV and watch commentary and get caught up in minor sell-offs. And so that's why this is such a good contrary indicator, is that when people are running out, I don't want to call it stupid money, but I understand your comment. It's fast money. It's just not educated to say, I'm staying in, and it does come out. And people actually do think that they're doing stuff. They think they're being smart. And that's why if we don't get the mindset right, we can trick ourselves into thinking we are smart. We do nail this thing. We've got it nailed down. We've got control of it. And we don't. We do not. You know, I'm going to direct you, and especially young people, so forward the link if you want to or tell them where it is. It's only 2 minutes, okay? It's called Meet Dave, and it's not me, Dave. It's a different Dave. It's a made-up Dave. Apparently Dave's a hot made-up name, these Daves. But it's called Meet Dave, and it's a story about Dave, who received an inheritance. Again, it's 2 minutes. Does all this, all these things all of his life with different things like weddings, grandchildren's birth, right? Buying a car. And he spends a lot of the inheritance and how much money he has in the end. You see, it's not a story about the fund that's in there. I'm not even going to mention the fund. We sent it out to our clients, so I know a lot of people have already seen it. But it's on our website. Go there and watch it. I think it's under resources. You go in there, we have kind of a landing page, and then you go into there under resources, and there it is. Meet Dave. That's really a neat thing, and it's not me. It's just a story. It's 2 minutes, I promise. So worth it. It's not the fun story. It's a story of investing. It's a story of investing. But you see, if you quit anytime, the story goes away. It's gone. And you see, you say, well, the next time I won't, or this. No, it takes a radical transformation to change. Because if you nail it and you're right, and the market goes down, are you really going to nail the bottom again? And then when you get that really good feeling 5 years later or 10 years later, it's going to crash. You really think you're going to be right again? See, now you've been right. It's not good. You get lucky, doesn't make you smart. It makes you lucky. And lucky can be really, 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 really dangerous. Because people think they're better than they are. Remember, we've talked about this a million times, right? The average driver, right? 76% of the people think they're better than the average driver. Well, that's just statistically not possible. But it gets worse the smarter you are. Because you ready? How many college professors do you think that they are better than the average college professor? Come on, you guys have heard this before because I've said it a zillion times. 92% of college professors think they're smarter than the average college professor. You see what I'm getting at? You see how hard this is? You see how we lie to ourselves about how good we are? What are you lying to yourself about? How nice you are, how understanding you are, how open-minded you are, how you don't just filter your news to precisely what you already believe, that you're really open-minded about that stuff, that you understand investing. How many times have you thought the market was going to go down And it didn't. But you didn't sell out because you're not a silly child. You understand. You got to stay. How many dozens of times do you think that's happened? But you didn't act, so it's not extraordinary when you were wrong. And then when it does go down and you were feeling like, I knew this was going to happen. Now, you can't imagine how many times I hear that. And I just can't take the time all the time to stop and re-educate everybody. No, you don't understand. That was just another normal thought that you've had 100 times in your life. But because you didn't act on it the other 90 times before, which is good because you did the right thing, you were still wrong. The market didn't crash. Now it goes down, and you knew it. Huh? You didn't know it. We just don't realize. Then we're like, ah, I'm the trading genius. We have a confirmation bias of how good we are. Wow, I nailed that one. And then we forget about all the times. You know, I knew BSU would cover the spread. Did you? And you knew that last week when they didn't? And the week before when they didn't? Or you didn't think that they would and they did? Yep, there are just so many multimillionaire sports bettors. It is a way we're wired as humans. We think we're better than we are. And we have to guard against that, too. All right, so anyway, the answer is money flows out, and it has, and it's sad. Really sad. I can't stop it. I can only try to stop our clients and anybody who wants to listen. That's all I can do. But Joe, you're right. So many people bailed. It's a very good contrary indicator. And one of the reasons why when we hit the end of the year, hit Christmas, bam, this market's up, what, 10% from the bottom? It's incredible. It's been an amazing, amazing rally. I know. And after we've solved all of our trading disputes, no, I guess we haven't. But, you know, after they reopened, oh, they didn't reopen the government. After all of the politics got... All right, well, okay, so we didn't solve any problems, but the market did bounce. You get the point. Things will take care of themselves. They do. All right, Jim, I got to take a quick break for Fox News, and when we come back, we also want your calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hey, if you have any comments or questions during the week, I would love to hear from you, seriously. You know, I have enjoyed this for, I just can't believe it, but it's well over three decades now. And have enjoyed the feedback, enjoyed trying to think about things differently, how to get a message across that matters. And I'm still enjoying it. But what really lights my fire is when I get feedback from people, both good and bad. You know, it's taken very seriously. You know, it is. If there's a thought that isn't, you know, at least we weigh it out, right? We recognize that people can get things stuck in their head and maybe they're like 90% wrong. But I want to try to find out what the 10% right is, right? Try to get to that point. But people hear things differently, and I really want to have your input. So please do. Shoot us an email. Give me a call, whatever, okay? And our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please. Good, good, sir. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I got a little rhyming ditty for you.
Oh, okay. All right.
As regards money, economists will tell you it's meant to be spent. But Jim says, au contraire, it's best to invest.
That's good. I like it. Is this your hobby? You sit around.
I love writing. I love rhymes.
Yeah, right. Very
good.
But
you know, I mean, for instance, I mean, they'll say you got to spend money to stimulate the economy to sell products to make the stock go up.
Yep.
So I mean, if everybody didn't spend money, obviously nothing would happen. But rather than buying that piece of crap you probably don't need, it's best to invest.
It is, Jim, and also it's best for our overall country that people are able to take care of themselves. And to me, it's as important as this, okay? And people don't have to agree with me politically, but I'm right and they're wrong. But here's the deal. If we don't take care of ourselves, the pinnacle of freedom, right?
Right.
And a free society is that you are not relying on the government for everything. In fact, you're relying on them for almost nothing. Just protect our borders. That was not a recurrent political statement. That's what the government is supposed to do. Protect our borders, police the bad guys, and that's it. Everything else leads to the ultimate creativity by the individual. And people aren't creative if you just give them stuff. They aren't. They just aren't. And so we have to be able to take care of ourselves. And I think it's an important point to freedom, to future technological innovation. Everything is hinging on us investing in ourselves, having the freedom to, and not having government intervention.
But, you know, the thing is, I believe in, you know, the old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I believe in using stuff. Now, the thing is, we're innovating faster than we can use it. Now, that is, to me, that is the good thing about a recession. If people don't have money to buy stuff, stuff won't be innovated, and therefore they have to use what they've already got, which is still good.
But not as good as the new stuff.
Well,
it's
know.
Not. I mean, come on. It's
but,
you know.
Okay. We have lost the word need isn't even in the dictionary.
No, it is not. No,
everything
I agree.
Everything is needy. You need a Alexa so you can tell it to do whatever the hell. You know, do you really need that? Come on, Dave.
I don't have Alexa because, you know, I've got Rania.
It also spies on you, too.
No, I don't want Alexa in my house. I mean it. I do not. I do not want that. That bothers me. And I am not a paranoid, you know, government conspiracy guy, and I don't think people spy on me. I don't think people do. But I don't want it.
The thing is, I think once we come up with a product, we should at least use it for a few months before we throw it away and buy a new one.
Well, I'm with you there. See, to me, it all boils down to this, Jim. It really does. It's the old contentment. You need to be content, and people are not. And what I'm saying is that if you're content and you are wanting to upgrade something, you can afford it and you're doing fine. But if you do it because everything causes you discontent, I don't have the newest thing. Now I'm not content anymore. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with giving money away when you have some in abundance. I think it's makes my heart feel right. It's all of those things that are great about having money. And it's not just investing, although I'm like you, Jim. I like investing. I like owning stocks. I like watching them. It's fun. But at the same time, if people can't be content where they are and are always driven to buy new, then they fall out the other way, right? They fall out of the boat the other way. They can't ever attain money, and therefore they can't ever – and they also can't attain happiness because they're always discontented.
True. I mean, we used to call it keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes, exactly. That's right. And that's just a lack of contentment. So, but it's not just keeping up with somebody else. It's feeling like I'm not as pretty. My body isn't perfect. And that's not an excuse. Go to the gym then. But your body isn't going to be perfect.
Okay, I'll say one thing about that. Now, this phenomenon of selfies, I even saw in the news where a lot of people, I mean, they take a picture of themselves, and they physically don't look like they're a selfie. So now they're going to get plastic surgery for the thing, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's really a sick society. I mean, you I don't know.
Hey, I get it. There's nothing wrong if somebody wants to improve. I get that. But if you, again, if you're not content, if you're content but you'd like to improve, then you go to the gym, right?
Right.
But for people that live there and never feel like their muscles are big enough, their stomach is flat enough, they're just never good enough, is not a good state of mind to be in either.
No. Well, it's like these fashion magazines that pose females a certain way, which creates a lot of anorexia nervosa because they think they're whatever. I mean, they've got to live up to these so-called standards.
Well, and hypersexuality, because you feel like you just have to be the sexiest, hottest creature on earth.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with being sexy and hot. I certainly appreciate that. But I'm just saying that if that is you never feel adequate in that, then that's not good.
True. Well, you know, last week, you know, we were talking about baths, and you said something about baths are for females.
That's right. You're the woman bather. I forgot.
Well, no, I'm proud to say I have taken a bath with a female before, and it's delightful.
Yeah, I completely concur with that.
But,
absolutely.
But Tuesday, you know, the show following you, I found out that Tuesday was International Bubble Bath Day.
It was. Somehow I missed that.
I know. I mean, I haven't had a bubble bath in ages, but, you know.
Well, I'm going to buy you some bubble bath, Jim, okay?
Maybe the bubble bath sales will go up, and whoever makes them, their stock will go up.
Exactly. All right, you. I got to roll.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Have a great day. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave is on the line on deck next to talk with Dave. So we will be right back. Hello, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. Let's go ahead and go to Dave. Dave, thanks for calling and waiting. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I called in last week, and I was concerned. My wife and I were concerned about the market, and when we were looking at our statements over the last year, we were down 40,000. But we had our meeting with our investment advisor, financial advisor, and get it done on me. And I asked, I said, okay, so where are we at from when we started 4 years ago with this account? We are still up. After losing 40,000, we're still up 138,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, when you look at the whole picture, it takes the doom and gloom out of it.
It really does. And it's one of those, but it's human nature. And so we always have to guard against that, right? Because I've always given the example, right, of you put in money in a 401k over the years, and let's say it totals, $100,000 you've put in, and it goes up to $800,000 as an example, right?
Right.
And then it has a correction, and it goes down to $700,000. Nobody says, well, I've made $600,000 on my investment. They all say, yeah, I lost $100,000. And it's exactly like you're saying. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not thinking like that. We've made 140. I'm not going to sit around here and figure out how I can take a beautiful story and turn it into something terrible, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that kind of, when you think about it in that sense, Dave, isn't that exactly what we're doing when we say that? It's like, this is a wonderful thing. I became rich. Let me see if I can wreck that. Because I just feel a little too happy about that. I got rich over a lifetime not having to manage these funds. What I mean by that is I did not have to run the businesses, the greatest corporations in the world, and I put a few bucks away, and it ran up to $1 million, okay? I became financially independent doing nothing, just taking a couple bucks and putting it away. But now that I've done that, I want to figure out a way that I can feel really crappy about that fact, okay? And I want to look at the last market correction and grind on that. And that's really, again, I'm making fun of it, but isn't that kind of what we do?
Oh, I was just so messed up or freaked out about the fact that it went down instead of up.
Right.
And then again, when we were there and looked back at over the entire picture, we're so far ahead of what we were. That and since then, what's the market done in the last week? It came up.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. So, it totally has. And it's, great perspective. I really appreciate you calling in and saying, hey, look, this is how I felt. And give us a chance again to all reflect that that's how we all feel. Instead of just saying, hey, this is a really cool thing that we've discovered is you put a couple bucks away and you get rich over time.
Yep.
That's a really cool thing. Let me see if I can ruin that by figuring out how I can feel really bad about it.
Yeah, I agree. So, all right. Well, I just wanted to pass that on because last week when I called, I was just barely fairly. Well, I was pessimistic.
Yes.
Now I'm not. I'm just. You know, the sun's a little brighter today, and things are just better.
That's good. Get out and enjoy some of that sun. It does make you feel better, doesn't it?
It does. Thank you. Have
Dave,
a good day.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. You calling back.
Yeah.
Bye now. All right. And if you have a quick comment, question, go right ahead. We've got a couple minutes. It would have to be a quickie, but that's all right. Let's do it. If you want, it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Can we give the location on the website to the video you were talking about? Okay. Thanks, Dale, for that heads up. All right. I'm not sure I can do, I'm not a very good multitasker here, to go exactly to there. But it should go on petsofinancial.com. You go right to the landing page. Okay. And then I believe it's under, no, I know where they put it now. What? Look at your account. That's where it is. Look at your account. To see your account, go there. And the reason why is that's where most people go on the website. And it's primarily, of course, designed for our clients. And so go there. That's exactly what I was told. So go right there to see your clients or to see your account. And it should pop up right there. Meet Dave. And it takes you out to another website where it is. We just couldn't store it there and have it run effectively. So it's a link to go out off the website, okay? Hey, thanks a lot for that heads up, and I'm glad it gave me a chance to kind of back up on that, Dale, and say, hey, I was wrong and directed you to the wrong place, so thank you for that. All right, and let's go quickly to Frank. Frank, we've got a couple minutes. Go right ahead.
Yeah, Frank, I've had an investment in an IRA for a long time, and every year I've been withdrawing about $5,000 or a small amount out of it, and I was just wondering if your forecast earlier about the 20% increase in the stock market probably answers the question I was going to ask you, rather than should I like pull it out now or wait till the end of the year?
Frank, I you know, as you know, on my prediction, I made fun of my prediction. Okay.
Yeah.
It's so everybody. Everybody's got one, and I'm not trying to be nasty here. I'm just saying. These are the reasons why I'm so optimistic for the year. Years don't come out normally. Like we might say, you know, you'll hear Wall Street say we think it'll be in the 8, 6, 8, 10% range. They never go outside of that. The point is markets don't do normal, so they tend to go way up or down, okay? They don't do normal. And so as I have thought about that over the years, it's more like I'm not trying to make a wild, exaggerated guess. I just simply say, look, after this correction, the market's at least 25%, maybe 30% undervalued to where interest rates are now. And even if you raised interest rates, then they say, okay, we're still undervalued by quite a bit. So I slap a 20% made-up number on it. My point is that I am very optimistic the way the economy is and the idea that we will and do solve problems, always have, and we'll move on to new problems. But they are hyped in the media right now. It's a very anti-Donald Trump environment in the media. And so everything is hyped. And it makes people more nervous than they should be about what's really going on. So I think prices have gotten exaggeratedly cheap. And I think we are going to have a great year. And I understand your question. But if you can use the money, go ahead and take it. Don't wait. But if you want to, if you don't need it now and you're just going to take a few thousand out, I'd probably let it ride.
Oh, that's good advice. I just take it out and use it for fun in the summer.
Well, you should. Go ahead and take it out. You know, we've had a nice little bump here. Take it out. It's not going to hurt you. You got lots of money left in there. It'll just help you next year if I'm right. But if I'm wrong,
yeah,
it won't hurt you to take it out now either, would it?
No, it's just every first of the year I have to make those decisions. Should I do it now while it's kind
right.
of going up a bit, which it has.
It has.
And then, wait till it goes down another 10% or something, and then it's like, gosh, I wish I had done it earlier.
You know? I hear you. You're never going to get it quite right, Frank. Frank, thank you for the call. You can hear the music, I'm sure. Have a great
Thanks.
One. And have a great weekend, everybody. I sure appreciate you. And if you have any comments or questions, petsofinancial.com. Talk to you next week.